if that's moving up, then I'm moving out.
2:39 here on Kurnos and Cosby on 77 WABC. Well, we've been talking, of course, about the case. We had him on the show with us here. Michael Rotundo. That was the guy who was living with his parents to the point where they had to actually get a court order to evict him. And he finally did after getting $3,000 from a radio talk show host. But he finally got out after they were begging, pleading with him to get out. And our next guest knows what it's like to have a kid who has certainly overstayed his welcome. Nicholas Popich graduated from high school. And then at that point, he decided, okay, I'm going to move out of my mom's place and move in with my dad. And now it's been 11 years and the dad still has him. And he has written a book. It is Get a Effing Job. And joining us is the dad and the author of that book with that very original title, Anton Popich. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. And thank you very much for having me on. I hear you say, go on.
No, I was going to say, I love the title, Anton.
Thank you. We've gotten a lot of buzz, and I'm always very careful about how I say it, obviously. So, but yeah, I mean, it's sort of like, okay, what point, what do you have to do to actually motivate your child to get to that next step?
Now, we have a lot of listeners who, you know, when we had Michael Rotundo on, the phone lines were like, what the heck is this guy doing? So give our listeners a sense of the situation, because you don't believe in the sort of eviction process. Your son's interesting because he was a model. He's a good looking guy like you. You guys, it runs in the family. You got him, and then he did a little bit of an Uber. At least he worked a little bit. Did he ever share the money with you, or is it all his money is his money?
No, because I'm always sort of like, okay, you have to do something. That's how the whole Uber situation came into being. And I'm like, okay, use that money now to get yourself through school. I'm always saying to him, I'm willing to pay for school if you decide you're actually going to do it. And I realize at 29, that sounds very odd when you hear yourself say that out loud. But it's sort of, after moving to Miami, this would be it. His first job, he goes to Miami, he's a personal assistant. He's working where he has a Bentley, living in a multi-million dollar place, but I'm lonely and I'm sad and I want to come home. This is at 20, and that made sense to me. Now here we are, 9 years later.
So what have you done? What have you done to try to get him out, Anton?
Well, it's sort of been like, if you're not happy here, then try moving out with your friends. It's constantly this boomerang. And the colleague with whom I wrote the book, Elise Hoffman, same thing. She has three boys. I find this much more of a young man situation than I do, you know, anything else. So it's sort of, I'm at a point now. That's why we actually put the book out there. And I was like, you're now the poster child. And I make him, I know it's hard to believe you make a 29-year-old do something, but it'll have T-shirts printed up. Everywhere you go around New York, it's like he's become this mini celebrity where people want to take a picture with him, but I don't see any further steps towards, oh, why don't I go out and, like, you know, try to figure out how to take advantage of this situation. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does. And by the way, I'm looking at the picture because you got a big picture of your son on the cover of the book. But it's still no motivation, Anton. No. How many parents out there listening are going through the same frustration? Oh, my gosh.
Well, it's really wild to me because as a photographer, I'm a celebrity portraiturist in L.A. and I do high-end editorial fashion in New York. And I cannot tell you the number of sets that I'm on where people in the industry will say the same thing about their kids who are not 20, 21, 22 anymore, who are 25, 26, 27. And I'm really flabbergasted because it's way, way more than I thought. At first I was like, oh, is this just me? You know, what have I not done as a parent? What should I have done? But there was a time when I worked in Congress and I was taking him to work with me when I was 6, 7, 8. I've taken him to editorial sets all over the globe, you know, as a teenager. You know, so it's never a lot. You never think that it's you who's not showing them a work ethic. My father came from nothing and left home at 14 and became a professional athlete. When I was 16, he basically said to me, you're going to get a job this summer. And it wasn't with a question mark at the end. It was with an exclamation point. And it never crossed my mind there was an option that I would not do that.
Now, Anton, this is Curtis Sliwa.
Hey.
What I don't understand, Anton, is your son had gone down and become a personal assistant to a high roller, correct? So he was gainfully employed. He calls you up, says, Dad, I don't like this job. I want to come home. other than if you were in trouble, you know, with drugs or gambling or something, why didn't you just say, hell no, you ain't coming here, pal. You got a good job. You got to fend for yourself. That's what the real world is like. Grow up and deal with it.
I'm not going to disagree with you. I look back now and I think that is all on me. That's exactly what I should have done, is that you need to stick it out. Life, you know, financial and emotional independence isn't always easy. And that's really the tactic that I should have taken. And now here we are. So what you're saying really hits home. And it's sort of, what is the next step? And
now,
that's sort of why we put,
second part is normally boys, not necessarily true for girls, but boys will call up their mothers because they become like what we call Mama Lukes. Mama's boys, and they'll cry to their mom and say, Mom, I want to come home. You know, I've tried it out here. It's kind of tough. And mommy will normally never wanted to cut the apron strings to begin with, and now all of a sudden embraces him back into the nest. Did he try calling his mom, or was just exclusively you?
That's really interesting. No, he did call his mother, and he did go live with her for a period of about 2 to 3 months. And it's interesting. She had a very different tactic, which is sort of like, no, it's over. It's done. You're an adult. This is it. You need to get out if you're going to do something and figure out how to make it on your own. We took very different approaches. And again, I look back and I think, I should have gone a very different route. I didn't. And again, this is where we find ourselves.
All right. But now that he's in your house, and obviously he's not intending to leave anytime soon, does he have a series of chores? Did you sort of like say, okay, if you're going to live here and gold brick off of me, this is what you're responsible for each and every day?
Yeah. No, there's no more money. It's basically, this. I put a roof over your head. I put food on your table. That's the bottom line. Anything else that you want, you have to figure out how to do for yourself. You know, it's sort of like you have to pay for parking. You have to pay, you know, you want a car, you have a lease, all of those things. All of those things he does pay for. But it's still, to me, as I say to him, I'm not going to live forever. I'm not a kid anymore. So,
by the way, Anton, I saw the answer. You made that comment to your son. And I saw what you had said. Apparently the son responds back to you, oh, well, don't worry. You look good. You have the body of a 45-year-old. As opposed to saying, I need a backup plan.
Well, the anecdote on that, the whole part of that, was he basically ended up saying to me, we have this conversation regularly. I was like, you know, I'm not going to live forever. He's like, okay, you know what? I'll stuff you. I'll take you with me everywhere. That's sort of supposed to be humorous, but my comment back was, well, you know what? I didn't envision my afterlife as sort of being in a cart and living in a box underneath the river.
So, you know, the problem is too, Anton, and in your son's case too, and I'm sure you recognize this, is that his friends are also living with their parents too. So, you know, where's he going to get the advice unless he goes to like Moochers Anonymous? Where's he going to get out of there?
No, I agree. And that's exactly the biggest point that what you just made, I hear this constantly. All of my friends, and I'm amazed at the number of people I run into. We're sort of on a circuit of New York, LA, DC, you know, whose kids are all still like this. And I just don't understand, you know, where this lack of a work ethic comes
from. So what advice do you have for parents listening out there, Anton? Because, you know, because there's probably other folks that are going, I got Missy or Bobby here, and they're hanging out too long.
You know what? When your kid graduates from college, that's it. It should be just, you know, like, out the door. You're out the door. You're on your own. I've done everything I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to spend. Figure it out. You know, sink, swim. That would be my advice.
And all right, but advice based on your experience, but why do you keep enabling him? What is it about you that enables him instead of just kicking him in his tuchus out to the curb and saying, hey, you can make it on your own?
Oh, it's his boy. And he's cute, too.
I'm an only child, and he's an only child, and I know that doesn't make a lot of sense in that. I think it's a very different world for all of them than it is for us. It's definitely not. I mean, I was living in New York in the 80s. I actually met you back in the 80s in the Lower East, you know, on the Lower East Side. And it's sort of, it's just, I get that it's hard financially for all of them, but, you know, I just don't think there's like a gumption thing. But, yeah, that's what I would have done very differently. I'd be like, no, this is it. It's finished. It's over. And that's really where we are. And that's when I'm joking, saying, you know, you're the poster child now. If that doesn't ring home, because people like constantly see him on the shooting, like, oh my God, you're that kid. Well, if that doesn't motivate you, you know, I really don't know what does at this point.
Maybe there's some business or something with the book or the T-shirts, and maybe there's something there. That might be the sliver, you know, with the face. Who knows, Anton? But
that's what I'm hoping at this point.
Absolutely. Well, we wish you a lot of luck. You can see your son's face there with his mouth open. Get a effing job. Very creative, Anton, and we love you being here on the show. Anton Popich, thank you.
Thank you for having me. We really like it. Thanks so much. Bye.
Thank you.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard this this father who has enabled his son. It's clear because the mother was going to have none of that nonsense.
Yeah, and you feel bad for the dad, too. Because and look, what more can you do? He puts the son's picture on the cover of his book and a T-shirt. It's like, and this kid is still not getting out. The dad just sounds like he's just trying to do what he can.
What is the therapy you would suggest for the father? Never mind the kid. Just kick him in his butt. Tell him to get out there and fend for himself. He's fully capable of doing that. But what about the father who insists on enabling him again and again and again? 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.